Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our gracious Savior, Jesus. Amen. Well, these last couple weeks as a church, we have been exploring some of these stories together by the illustrious Dr. Seuss. And I hope you've enjoyed this series. I hope you've enjoyed this time. And you know, some of these stories we've known really well. And some of these stories, maybe not so well. Who knew Gertrude McFuzz going into this series? I'm very impressed. Pastor Dan's like, yes. See, for the rest of us, we've become more cultured now. We've learned and we've grown. It's been good for us. And I think this series has been so cool because it's allowed us to take, you know, these simple stories, sometimes these simple, silly children's stories, and by looking at them, we've been able to dig into God's Word and see a beautiful picture of the gospel message of our God, who is love and who has shown love to us, his creatures, and has called us to be love and to show love to one another. And so I we're looking on to something new, but I'm excited that we get one last week. And I think it's fitting that this week we look at this book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, because we as a church, we're going places, right? This is good. And this is a book that I think is like a gift kind of book. Has anyone received this book as a gift before? I'm figured there's going to be a couple of you in here. This is like one of those like classic books that you give to someone as a gift, like if they're graduating from high school or college or they're moving from one place to another, right? You'll give this book as a gift. So some of you have received this book. Some of you have probably been on the other end of that transaction, right? And you've been the giver of this book, you know, giving this book to a friend or a loved one as they're kind of moving on to new things and hoping that the words here would inspire them and encourage them in this kind of new endeavor for them. And I think it's really good. But what is so interesting about this book, I think, is that it's a simple book that doesn't have a whole lot to it. And yet, I think the message is not so clear-cut. I think the message and the moral of this book is not so clear-cut. Because I think, Oh, the Places You'll Go is a book that speaks to real life. And real life is sometimes not so clear cut. And I think even depending on you being the receiver or the giver of this book may impact how you read it. Or depending on where what kind of experiences that you're going through right now in life will change how you experience and read this book. So for example, if you're maybe the receiver of this book, you're going off into new things to experience new things. Maybe you're graduating from high school and you are filled with some energy and some optimism, this energetic spirit that nothing is going to get in your way. And so as you open up this book, you might experience it in a way something like this. Oh, the places you'll go. That's right. I'm going places. You better believe it. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the guy who will decide where to go. Yes, that's right. Finally, everything is coming together just like I planned it. Man, things are just so good right now. I can't even imagine anything going wrong. Everything is planned and good to go. I've gotten into the college that I wanted to get into. My scholarships are all lined up. I've worked so hard for this. And all that hard work is finally paying off. Here's to bigger and better things. What else here? You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. And wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Man, now, I hope that's true. Man, if only I can just stay focused. If only I can stay focused and work hard. I know if I put my mind to it, nothing is going to get in my way. And nothing is going to get my way of achieving all this that I've worked for. I've done everything right so far. I know God loves me. I can't wait to see what God has in store for me for the rest of my life. God is good. And God is good, and God is certainly good, and I think this kind of optimistic reading is perhaps kind of what Dr. Seuss intended when he wrote this book. And I think in response to that, I would say, man, that's awesome, and I'm so excited for you and all of these great things that God is doing in your life, and God certainly does love you and wants good things for you. But let's slow down a little bit. Let's slow down. Because we also know that you know, God's love for you is not made evident in all of those good things that are going for you right now. And those are good things, and God wants them for you. But guess what? The Bible talks about God's love being made known to us in a different way. See, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God's love is made known through the weak and the foolish things of this world. And I know that's kind of weird and hard to understand, but we know that God loves us not by good things and the blessings, but rather through the death of his Son, the foolishness of the cross. God's love is made known through the most unimaginable thing. See, God took this symbol of torture and through the sacrifice of his Son turned it into this most incredible symbol of hope and love by sacrificing his Son to redeem you from your sin. And so as you go off on this new adventure, I don't want you to lose that optimism, because these are good things and God wants good things for you. But I want you to also know that your effort, your own effort and your own strength and your own wisdom are only going to get you so far. God says, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own effort and your own strength. God says, I will be with you. I will straighten the path before you. So look to my power. Look to my strength and my wisdom, and you will not be disappointed. You know, I think it's tempting in those moments when things are good to focus so much on those good things, those blessings, and those accomplishments that we lose sight of that what God has done for us through Jesus was not for those things. Not that so that we would be blessed in all those ways and that all our hopes and dreams would come true, but that we would have a relationship with him. See, and all those other things, they'll never satisfy. But the promise that God makes in Jesus is that by his death and resurrection, we are bought back and we are saved from death into life to have a relationship with him forever. And so if all that other stuff falls apart, if all that other stuff kind of doesn't happen just the way you want it, that promise, that identity will never change. So no matter wherever you go, no matter whatever you accomplish, God's promises for you remain secure. Now this is a good book. It's a good book that stirs up emotions. And I think a lot of those emotions are of optimism and ambition to achieve great things. And I'm not here to say those are bad things. Those are good things. God wants us to work hard. God wants us to make the best use of the gifts that he's been given to us. But I think as Christians, we also know that none of those things matter apart from a relationship with Christ. None of those things will last like Christ endures forever. And I think that's so important, because as we get more into this book, we realize something. Sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to. If you've read Oh, the Places You'll Go before, you know that within all this optimism, there's also this very realistic picture of life, where things don't go according to plan, where there are dips and turns along the way. And I think it's those unexpected bumps that are probably the most important part of this book. And I imagine that it's those dips and turns and bumps and slumps that prompt people to read this book and want to give it away. They want to give it to someone, not to encourage them and exhort them and get them to achieve great things. I mean, that might be part of it, but I think in part it's to express a word of care and a word of warning, saying, man, I've been there. And I want you to be prepared for what it looks like. For what it looks like in life when things are anything but good. And it hurts. And so that type of person who reads this book and wants to give it away and is experiencing that very same hurt in their life and their own experience might sound something like this. Wherever you go, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest, except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. Wow, I've been there. I've been there. And just when you think you got it all figured out, just when you think that things are just going your way, bam, it's gone. So you'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. Man, as I read that, I just hope that you, as I give you this book, that you could be ready for that. You know, life has a way of throwing curveballs, and I never quite learned how to hit a breaking ball. And baseball was my everything. It was my ticket to life that God had planned for me. And then I tore my rotator cuff, and it was gone in an instant. I didn't know what I was going to do. There was nothing I could do. It was completely out of my control. I was completely helpless. Everything I worked so hard for, gone. Shattered in one singular moment. So I guess I just want you to be prepared. Be prepared for when things won't always go your way, because they won't. For so often, things are going to be outside of your control. And before you know it, you are going to find yourself lost. You're going to find yourself alone, and you're going to be wondering, God, if you really do love me, how could you let all of this happen? If you really do care about me, why would you set me up for such failure? If you really do care about me, why would you make things so hard? The response to that situation is, I think, much harder. It's recognizing the realness of hurt in our lives. And I think you have to start by just saying, man, I can't imagine. I'm sorry. I know life throws curveballs. No argument there. And more often than not, we're not ready for them. I think you asked a good question. God, do you love me? Because I think right now, I understand it doesn't feel like it. Where is God in the midst of your suffering? But you know what? I think there's something amazing about God. And it's that I think God is most near to us in our suffering. See, let me ask you a question. What does God desire from you more than anything? Your trust. He says, trust in me with all your heart and don't lean on your own wisdom, your own strength, your own understanding. God says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And I know that's not comforting right now. I know that's not what you want to hear, but the times that I think that we are most able to trust and rely on God are the times where we have nothing left of ourselves to hold on to. I think if dependence on God is the goal, then our weakness is an advantage. Does God love you? I think undoubtedly he does. We see that he sacrificed his son Jesus to give you life. And so no matter where you go, no matter what you do, we can see the love of God clearly as we look at the cross. Despite all of it, the promises of God for you in Christ remain secure. You are a child of God. That is your identity. That doesn't change. And we know that for those who love God, it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who have been called according to his purpose. Even these things that seem to put an end to everything we've worked for, that just put us in this slump that we can't climb out of, that shatter everything in our lives in all times, we can look for the love of God in the cross, not in the things around us, but in the promises he's made in Jesus. That is hard. But that is something that we call the theology of the cross. This theology that we don't look at our circumstances around us to make sense of things, but we look to the promises of God as it is made known to us in Jesus, in the cross. And I think it's a theology of real life. See, I think people give and receive this book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, because it speaks to the emotional peaks and valleys that we experience in real life. And so as you read it, you might find yourself, on the one hand, with that hope and optimism that sometimes life is good. Sometimes life is good, and you're experiencing the goodness of God's blessings in your life, and that's amazing. That's something to give thanks to God for. Because God wants good things for us. But there are going to be other times. There are going to be other times where we're going to be experiencing this, the exact opposite. That hopeless confusion of that unpleasant bump and that slump that we get in. And it's, you know, sometimes life is pain. And anyone who says differently is selling something. Right? There's some truth in The Princess Bride. But even in that pain, God is near. He is drawing near to us that we would trust him, reminding us that it was by the very pain that his son endured that he secured our hope and our freedom and our life for all eternity. And I think still as we read this book and as we experience life, I think most of us fall somewhere in the middle of those two extremes that we've set up. You know, neither hot nor cold. I think for the most part, most of us are experiencing life where life is, you know, meh, it's fine, it's good. You know, that in-between time. But I think Dr. Seuss illustrates even that in this book when he illustrates the waiting place. And I think this is where we live, right? We are in the waiting place. We're waiting for a train to go or a bus to come, a plane to go, waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for Friday night. Man, are we waiting for Friday night? Because that's where life happens. And perhaps it's in that mundanity, the mundane things of this world that it's easiest to lose sight of that love of God. So where is God's love when man, I've had a long week and my family life is just crazy and hectic and work has been stressful and I lost the electric bill so I didn't pay it and there just seems to be this constant flow of things in my life that just there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. Where is God's love? I think in all of that, it's exactly where it was before. Whether you're in the highs or the lows, and everything in between, God's love for you is right here. The cross. Because there upon that blood-stained cross, we see a picture that never changes. A picture of God's love for us. A picture of God's power made perfect in our weakness. A picture of a God who cares. A God who walks with us wherever we may go. So my hope and prayer for you is in the places that you go, wherever you may go, you may set your eyes upon the cross of Christ, and in it you may have hope, because Jesus is with you wherever you may go. Amen.